The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Now we know that Jesus came to earth, and this, everything in here is not been fulfilled yet, because he came, he died for our sins, he was a suffering servant. But there's going to be a day when Jesus comes back to this earth. And when he returns to this earth, he is going to set up a government on this earth that there will be no end to his government. It will be everlasting. What a God we serve. This has been prophesied from the beginning of time, from the beginning of mankind, historically, in Genesis. It was prophesied there. And every book of the Bible speaks and points to the coming or the return of the Messiah. We know that our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back. And he is a prince. We know that he walked on the face of the earth and he spread peace. And although he spread peace, although he spread love, that peace and love was returned back to him with hate, anger, and cruelty. So we need to recognize and we need to see our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. That's really what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about peace because that's something that people are grasping for in our society. Peace is misunderstood, I think. I remember hearing a story about a man during the Civil War who'd sent his son off to war. And his son, he when he got there, he had some illness, some problems, difficulties. It took him a long time before he ever saw battle. When he did, he was critically wounded. And it was Christmas. It was coming close to Christmas. It may have even been Christmas Eve. But when he heard this news, being a poet, and this man was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he sat down and he wrote these words. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And if we are looking for peace on earth to happen in our life, complete peace, we're looking for the wrong kind of peace. I would love to see peace come upon the whole earth. And there's going to be a day when they promise that. And we may be coming very close to that right now. Where they promise that if you just get on board with this system that we have, there will be nothing but peace all over the world. And it will be a lie. It will not be peace. Because there's not going to be peace in this earth until Jesus comes back, the Prince of Peace. However, here's what I want us to understand is that we can have peace. We can have the peace of God that's beyond all our human understanding. We can have the peace of God in our life on a daily basis. There's not going to be peace in this earth because mankind is selfish. We have hate for one another. We have anger. And those kind of things are going to drive us to the brink of extinction. In fact, Jesus said, if the days, the end time, end of the age, if those days were not shortened, no one would survive. That's really what we got to look forward to in this earth. Now, I know that I know that that's a happy thought right now, right? And I'm not trying to bring a great downer upon anybody. But I just want you to recognize that in that reality, God has promised that he's going to give us peace. That he will be with us no matter what happens. That he will provide for all of our needs according to his riches in glory. That he will walk with us. That he will provide everything that is needed for us to have inner peace. The peace of God. That's what we have to strive for. Is to find out what that kind of peace is so that we can walk in that peace. The world's peace, it's a lie. It's false. The world right now is clamoring for peace. Their desire is that there will be peace for many. They want peace upon the whole earth. But the idea of that kind of peace is really, it's a fleeting expectation that I don't think can ever be accomplished. Many are striving for it. Some have good intentions, I believe. They have good intentions to see that kind of peace come upon this earth. There are others that have nothing but evil intentions to see that thing come to pass. And if you listen closely, you will hear the world clamoring for a one world government, a one world currency, a one world united. And that would be wonderful if it could happen. And I got news for you. It is going to happen. But it's not going to happen in our age. It's going to happen in the age to come. The age where Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. Peace is something that people are looking for. And as we look around, we see the turmoil in this world. We're having a hard time just finding that kind of peace that Jesus wants to give us. One woman told her friend that her therapist said the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things that you've started. So she said she looked around her house and she saw all the things that she had not finished. So before she left the house that morning, she finished everything she had not finished. A bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, Prozac, Valium, cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. She said, "You have no idea how peaceful I feel." That's terrible, isn't it? Well, you know, I've got to tell you, many people are looking for peace. And trying to find it that way. It's a way of escape. And listen, I'm not condemning anybody. The enemy is using drugs, both illegal and legal drugs, to destroy people's lives. And I want you to know that God has compassion on you. And he loves you. He doesn't care what you're going through. He loves you and he wants to deliver you and set you free from that. But sometimes you need help. And the body of Christ is about helping one another. And if you hide things like that, and you try to just go on and keep doing it, that's going to destroy your life. So I say to you that you're not going to find the peace that you're really looking for through alcohol, through drugs, through things that you're striving to please this flesh. The only way you can find the peace you're looking for is to renew and encourage that relationship that you have with the Father. The Father loves you. Father has great compassion on you. Father wants you to be free. If you need to be free from some of those things, reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's one of the things we have around here is a great counseling program. People want to help. And if you will be honest and open up and share, God will help you. He's put you in a place so that you can overcome that situation in your life. Not to mention the power of God. The anointing of God sets us free from those things. We have the name of Jesus that is above all names. We have the power of God living inside of us. We can walk in righteousness and holiness, and we can have peace in our life. Peace that when we look around, the world is falling apart. It doesn't matter, because our peace is in God, not in a world system, not in our pocketbook, and not even in our relationship with people. Although that's wonderful that we have that as believers. But our peace comes from our relationship with our Father. Amen? You see, we could have peace all over this earth if everyone would come to the realization that Jesus is the Son of God and He's forgiven them of their sins. But we know, we can read the Word of God, we know the Scripture, and we understand that that's not going to happen in our lifetime. I wish it would. I don't want anybody to perish. I don't want anybody to be without God and go to hell. I want all to be able to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But we've got to see Jesus and understand Him as a peaceful warrior, because He is a warrior. And being a warrior means that we can look at Him not just as, and traditionally people like to, particularly around this time of year, of course, we see Jesus as a baby in a manger, right? But even after, during the time of Easter, when we're celebrating, and or not celebrating, but recognizing the death of Jesus on the cross, we think many times of Jesus as this loving, compassionate, wonderful man that would sit around holding a lamb and talking to children, right? And He was that kind of person, but He was also a bold individual with the anointing of a God that would stand up against religious people who were trying to bind people up in shackles of religion and say, "You're a serpent." Whew. Or He would tell people who were trying to be arrogant and trick Him in some way. He would tell them the truth about their life, and He would explain to them that they had to turn and change their ways. He was, truly, He was peaceful, but He was a warrior. And I believe that He has called us to be peaceful, peacemakers, peaceful in everything that we do, love one another, share with each other, peaceful, but He's also called us to be warriors. We're to walk in a battle. We have to recognize that we are in this war. And as warriors, we need to equip ourselves every day with the armor of God to be able to take on this enemy that is trying to destroy us and everyone around us. Amen. Keeping a proper focus on who Jesus is. He's the Prince of Peace, but He's a mighty warrior. He's a lamb, but He also the Lion of Judah. And a lion devours. I thank God that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But we cannot just have this single image of what Jesus is. We've got to recognize it. He is peaceful, but He is a warrior. Turn with me to Isaiah. Still in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 says, "Now all the captains of the forces of Jothan, the son of Korah, Jezaniah, the son of Hosea, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, 'Please let our petition be accepted to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all his remnant, since we are left but a few of many as you can see. That the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and things we should do.'" Now I'm just going to stop right there. Because I want you to see the people are crying out that God would show them what they should do and how they should worship and glorify his name. And that's what we need to do as believers in Jesus Christ. We have got to come to the position, the place in our lives where we are crying out to God, "God, show me what it is that I can do every day to make a difference for your kingdom. How I can impact people around me." You know that I preach regularly on the reality of not allowing our Christian walk just to be a something that happens on a Sunday morning. It has to be something that is impacting other people. We're to be salt and light. Salt gives flavor. Light, when it shines into darkness, it doesn't matter how small it is. If this room was completely dark and you had a little light to the back, I could find my way back. I might bump into a few things. I might fall down on the way, but I can find my way to that light. We're to be salt and light, which means that God has called us to impact people and touch people's lives, love people, reach out to people. I'm thankful for this congregation. I thank you that you recognize what I'm talking about. And you have come to the realization, the things that we're able to do because you're giving. The food bank, the food pantry that we have. Feeding people, touching people's lives. And some of you, I've heard people make comments, some people are taking advantage of. Absolutely, they do. There's no doubt about it. So what? Some people are not.
That's right.
Some people need it desperately.
Right.
And we're touching and we're helping, ministering to them. Our thrift store. It's incredible the things that are happening there. People being able to purchase clothes for 50 cents and a dollar. And what's the highest price thing you've ever sold?
$20.
Yeah. $20 for a piece of furniture. You pay more than that for a pair of jeans, huh? And these are good things. These are wonderful items. And it's available to everyone, but when people come in and they purchase something like that, it makes them feel good that they've contributed. And yet they get a good, great deal. Just the giving here in this church. I don't know, I don't think I shared this with you, but a couple weeks ago, someone came into the office outside of this congregation and gave a $3,000 to our benevolence fund.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. It just said, "Listen, God has blessed me, and I want to be a blessing." And that went right to our benevolence fund. So anybody who is in need now can be ministered to.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I mean, those are exciting things that are taking place. Every one of you, I know some of you are giving sacrificially to the things of God. And I just want to thank you for that. I want to say that, you're doing above and beyond what God has asked of you. And in doing so, I believe that this principle of sowing and reaping will go into effect in your life. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You may not see the harvest right now, but if you keep sowing, the harvest will come. That's why I keep telling you, be careful what you sow. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You can't sow wild oats and then come to church on Sunday morning and pray for a crop failure. You can't do that. If you've sown, you're going to reap. It comes. Sow properly. Sow good things. Sow what God has spoken in your heart to sow. And you'll reap a wonderful harvest in doing so. He's our peaceful warrior. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he was not looking for trouble. And yet he spoke the truth. And because he spoke the truth, he made people angry. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you just told the truth? Yes, many of us have. And it made people angry. They didn't want to hear the truth. And that happens often with God's servants. When we get up and preach the word of God, people have one of two reactions to it. They either accept it and embrace it, or sometimes they get mad about it. They get angry. I recently was speaking, and I was doing a funeral. I was trying to do my very best to be compassionate in this situation. But in my message, I told people that the only way to God is through Jesus. That don't allow the world to tell you that you can be a Muslim Christian combined.
Well, that's right.
And they're trying to do that.
Yes, they are.
Buddha did not die for your sins.
Yes, yes.
Muhammad did not die for your sins. None of those other gods of this world died for your sins. The one true God, Jesus Christ, died for your sins. And he's the one that said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You can't make a mistake about what Jesus was saying there. You have to recognize, you have to accept the reality of all the things that Jesus taught. If you just read it, you find out that Jesus said that he was the only way. There wasn't going to be another one. There are not alternatives to heaven. Jesus is that way. So we should recognize that we look to him. And as I was saying, I shared at this funeral, and most people said, man, that was wonderful. I appreciate it. But I had one person say to me, I didn't like that. I didn't like what you said. Why? What did I do that was so horrible? Told the truth. The truth can be painful sometimes. But the truth is what we're all looking for, isn't it? That's why we must embrace Jesus as our peaceful warrior. Because the truth is, he brings peace. But he's also one that does war. He is a warrior on our behalf. And he's called us into battle. My Lord, my Savior Jesus, is a peaceful warrior. Don't look for peace in this world. According to the Bible, Moody Bible Institute, statistics from 1988, that's been a while, says that since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. It also shows that out of 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 of those years saw peace. Over 8,000 peace treaties had been made and broken during that period of time. It's going to continue. Thank God we don't have to look to this world for our peace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our peace. Jesus is our peaceful warrior. I also want to point out that he is a gentle conquer. We see the picture of him as a gentle conqueror. As one that wants to conquer and come into our lives and conquer all the problems, the issues, the habits, the things in our life that if we will just turn them over to him, he will conquer them. But we have to be willing to give it up and give it over to him. That's our issue. That's our problem, isn't it? We don't want to give it up. We hold on to those things. We grasp it. My little grandson, Owen, when he gets a hold of something that he doesn't want you to take from him, he holds on tight, believe me. And when you rip it from his hands, which you have to do, you know what his reaction is? He screams and cries because he wanted that. God is trying to rip these things out of our life, but we're just holding on so tight that we won't turn it over. That's what he wants us to do. Just turn it over to him. Give it all to him. Give everything that's in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. Our Lord Jesus is a powerful warrior on your behalf. If you just accept that. In fact, I think the Bible portrait of Jesus as a hero and a conqueror, he would be something like the combined skills of Chuck Norris, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Steven Seagal, all wrapped up into one, you know? He's powerful. In fact, he'd make those guys look like wimps. And yet, that's not the way he operates. He operates with power and compassion and love for his people. He'll never compromise with evil, but he will conquer evil with good. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow finished up saying and having hope. And he finished his song like this, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doeth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus is truly the peace that we need. He's truly a peaceful warrior, and he's also our gentle conqueror. We've got to recognize that he came and conquered it all for us. He died on the cross. Took care of everything. He is our righteousness. He makes us holy before our God. He is powerful. Stand with me. Wrap this up. During the years of the Nazis, leading up to and during World War II, they imprisoned a lot of people, Jews and Christians alike, particularly those who would try to stand up for the Jewish people. And there was a Franciscan priest by the name of Maximilian Kolbe, was imprisoned in Poland, in Auschwitz. And there was an escape attempt. And the Nazis tried to did something horrible when people tried to escape. And in this particular situation, they said, we're going to take 12 of you of the people, we'll randomly pull names, and you're going to be placed in a cell, and you're going to die by exposure and starvation. Well, one gentleman's name was called, and he started crying out and weeping, he was a Jewish gentleman, and he said, I have a family and I have children. And the priest stepped forward and said, I will die in his place. And he went into this cell and he gave up his life for that gentleman. Many, many years later, that guy never forgot. He had a place in his home that he set aside specifically with a little altar, and he remembered the priest who sacrificed his life for him. Now, we would all probably do something like that. And yet we sometimes forget what Jesus sacrificed for us. He did exactly that. He gave up his life. In our place, he stepped forward and he said, I will die for them, Father. I will shed my blood. I will hang on that cross for every human being on the face of the earth. This time of year, I think it's very important that we remember not only the birth of Christ, but what Jesus did for us on the cross. Because he's more than just an infant in a manger. He's our conqueror. Yes. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our warrior. He's our God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you this very morning that your power is available to those who seek. And that relationship that we have with our Lord, with our Father, is through the blood of Jesus. Today, Father, we receive all that he has for us. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation in Jesus' name. Today, Father God, we recognize Jesus coming to earth, and we recognize what Jesus did for us on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day.